Good morning. Greet each one in Jesus' name this morning. It's a pleasure to worship with you here at Lakeview. We welcome each one of you to worship with us at Cornerstone as well, as you have opportunity. Please do that. We would like that. I too was blessed by the service here thus far. I appreciate those devotional thoughts on the Word of God as a mirror, and it'd be my desire that we could use God's Word this morning as a mirror for our lives. Also enjoyed the Sunday school lesson. And as we looked at truths relating to the Jews and Gentiles becoming God's children by faith, I'm just blessed that the gospel, the good news of the gospel of salvation, is for even me. For a message this morning, a message I would take from the last chapter of 1 Corinthians. You can turn there. 1 Corinthians 16. There's a few verses here that we'll be spending most of our time with. First Corinthians is a book written by Paul to the church at Corinth, and there's lots of good practical stuff in this book, lots of admonitions. There's things that the Corinthian church needed direction on. There's practical things like the man and woman's role and the head covering and admonitions on observing the Lord's Supper. And he even needed to address immorality and sin that had crept into the church there. Chapter 16 here is the close of that letter, and there's some last-minute advice, if you will, some last-minute instructions he gives them, and it's some of these verses that we want to look at this morning. I'd like to read verses 13 to 18. 1 Corinthians 16, verse 13. Watch ye, stand fast in the faith. Quit you like men, be strong. Let all your things be done with charity. I beseech you, brethren, ye know the house of Stephanas, that it is the first fruits of Achaia, and that they have addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints. That ye submit yourselves unto such, and to every one that helpeth with us and laboreth. I am glad for the coming of Stephanas, and Fortunatus, and Achaicus, for that which was lacking on your part they have supplied. For they have refreshed my spirit and yours. Therefore acknowledge ye them that are such. We'll stop reading there. Verse 15 here, it's the verse we'll spend most of our time on. It starts out, I beseech you, brethren. Paul here begs for our attention, I believe. He's saying, take a look here, consider this. And then we have this parenthesis in this verse. And that's especially what we want to consider this morning. Ye know the house of Stephanas, that it is the first fruits of Achaia, that they have addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints. We want to consider this household, the house of Stephanas, this morning, and learn, see if we can learn some lessons from what we have written here. We do have very little written here or elsewhere about this man, Stephanas, and his household. His name is mentioned here in verse 15 and 17, and the only other time I believe it is mentioned is in chapter 1 of this book as well. But I believe what we do have written is inspiring for us and for all Christians, for Christians of all time. The title I've chosen this morning also comes from the phrase here in this parenthesis, and the title I've chosen is Addicted to the Ministry of the Saints. Addicted to the Ministry of the Saints. I'd like to break that down a little bit. We have the word addicted here. It's the only time this word is used in our Bible, I believe. Some other translations would render this word as devoted, dedicated, consecrated. And I believe all of those fit well here too. And I will use some of those words interchangeably here throughout the message. What's addicted, or what's an addiction? I think it's a word we're fairly familiar with today. The dictionary would say this: becoming dependent on a substance, thing, or behavior. Becoming dependent on a substance, thing, or behavior. And that's familiar to us, isn't it? You know, addictions are widely spoken about today. People get addicted to things like things that are harmful, like drugs, alcohol, and so forth. And we see signs and advertisements that advertise help for those that would be addicted to free themselves of those things. And there's habits and behaviors that we can become addicted to in life. Even things that are good and fine, I believe. Things like food. And things like our technology, the phones we carry around. There's growing concern today about technology addictions. That people, especially teenagers, getting addicted to their smartphone. Those are some things that come to my mind when I think about addictions. And oftentimes, you know, the word addiction, it's a negative thing for us, isn't it? It has a negative connotation. But here in this verse, we have the word addicted, and it's given in a positive way, isn't it? This family, this household of Stephanus, they had become addicted to the ministry of the saints. They had dedicated themselves, they've devoted themselves to God's work, to Jesus Christ. And it had just become a part of their life. What an example for us, isn't it? They had addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints. Next, what is the ministry of the saints? The Amplified Bible says it this way: they have consecrated and devoted themselves to the service of the saints. They were devoted to the service of the saints. As I thought about this word, service, what came to my mind was a service truck. Now, what's a service truck? Service truck is the vehicle many companies, equipment dealers, and so forth, mechanics have that brings support, like maintenance and repairs, you know, out on the road, on the job, elsewhere, to another machine or vehicle. There where I work, we have a service truck, and it's not totally finished. It's a work in progress yet, but it's the truck that gets taken out to rescue another truck. Maybe it's a flat tire or something along that nature that needs fixed out on the road. And you know, a service truck might be outfitted with all sorts of tools and equipment. Maybe there's even a generator on there so you have electricity on the job. Maybe there's a welder so you can fix a broken part. Maybe there's a crane. Just whatever is thought necessary to provide support for that other machine, truck, and so forth. You know, that's the work a service truck is dedicated for. You know, that same service truck, it's not made to, say, haul a load of corn or something like that. It's not made to do the work of a farm tractor in the field, but it's just dedicated to giving aid and support to keep those things going. And I like the picture that I get from that as I think about that. These people, this household of Stephanus, just like that service truck. They were dedicated to the service of the saints and the church of God. They were devoted to giving aid and support wherever it was needed. It had become a way of life for them. They were addicted to the ministry of the saints. As I mentioned already, we don't have much written about Stephanus. And I'm not sure if we can even know if Stephanus was man or woman. There are women referred to in this way as well, such as in chapter 1, it refers to the house of Chloe. So I'm not sure that we totally know either way, but it would seem in the context here that it would point to him as being a man, being a dad in this household. And that's probably how we'll refer to Stephanus here this morning. As I studied Stephanus and his family, there are some things that stood out to me, some observations that I made. The first observation that I would have is that both times this person, Stephanus, is mentioned, both here and in chapter 1 of 1 Corinthians, both times it says, here it would say the house of Stephanus, and in chapter 1 it says the household of Stephanus. It includes his family both times. And that's significant to me. I see a man here that didn't only have a family, he had his family with him. He had spent time with his family. He had given direction in his home, I believe. And they were together in God's work as a Christian family. And his addiction and his dedication to the service of God's people had also become their dedication and addiction as well. And I just see a good example in that for us as parents, and especially us as dads. The next observation I would have, and I already alluded to it, is that Stephanus and his household had given their hearts and lives over to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. You know, the Apostle Paul had brought the gospel. He had brought the good news of salvation to their town, to the city of Corinth. And these people had heard it and believed. Paul says here that they were the first fruits of Achaia. Achaia being the province or state or region that Corinth was in, I believe. As the gospel came and people heard it, these people were among the first to believe in Jesus. I see people here who were open-minded, who were searching for more than what the idolatrous city of Corinth had to offer. It says in Acts 18, verse 8, when Paul was in Corinth, many Corinthians hearing believed and were baptized. And it would seem that Stephanus and his family would have been among these. Also, verse 16 of chapter 1, where Stephanus is mentioned the other time, it specifically tells us that this household was baptized by Paul. So I see here a family that had believed in Jesus. They were baptized and they were dedicated Christians, faithful there in the church at Corinth. Another observation I made is that they had chosen to be devoted to the service of the saints. It says they have addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints. I see here a choice on their part. This was a voluntary service, I believe. They weren't being forced to serve. I don't see a grudging service here. They had chosen to serve God's people wherever they could, however they could, and it had become just a part of their Christian life. They were addicted. I would also see their service to the saints as coming from a heart of love. Love first to God and then resulting in love to others. In verse 14 here, Paul says, let all your things be done with charity, with fervent love. And it seems to me that Paul is saying, let all your things be done with love, and brothers, right here in your church is a good example for you, this house of Stephanas. Their service was from a heart of love. So what are some things, as we think about the example of this Christian family, the house of Stephanas, what are some things that we can learn this morning? What are some things that would help us today in becoming devoted like they were to the service of the saints? Maybe first I would ask, why the need? Why is there a need for people to be devoted to the ministry of the saints? And I would simply say that the simple answer I would give is that we as human beings have needs at times. And as long as we're here on the earth, there will be those needs that arise. And as brothers and sisters in the Church of God, as saints in the Church of God, we aren't exempt from many of those needs, whether they're physical, emotional, spiritual, whatever those needs are. Galatians 6 verse 10 says, as we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. And so we have a command here to do good unto all, especially our fellow Christians. And in saying that, I don't think this verse gives any room for neglecting the needs of those who are not Christians. This morning, while we're going to look specifically at mostly ministering to the saints of God, I don't want to minimize the importance of reaching out to others. And I believe, in fact, that we need to do more of that. Maybe right along with this thing of service to others, I would say I think there could be the possibility of looking at, of seeing the big needs, like going to New York City and the New York for Jesus work, and serving over in Bangladesh and so forth, seeing those big things, and those are good mission works. We really need those. But let's not look at all those big opportunities and miss those small, if you will, those little opportunities right here among the saints of God. Just a thought to consider. So what are some guidelines? What are some things to consider as we think of being addicted to the ministry of the saints? First one I have, I need to have a love for God in order to be addicted to the ministry of the saints. Very basic but important and foundational, I believe. And the children's song, J-O-Y, came to my mind. Jesus first, myself last, and others in between. You know, we're commanded to the service of others. We have verses like Galatians 6, verse 2, bear ye one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. 1 Peter 4, 9, use hospitality to one to another without grudging. But you know, if I don't first have God's love in my heart, Jesus' love in my heart, commands like these will be burdensome, won't they? There will be little joy, I believe, in doing service for others. You know, we by nature just like to look out for me. Jesus needs to be first. And certainly we have no better example than Jesus, don't we, when it comes to ministering to others' needs. Mark 10, verse 45. The Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, and to give his life a ransom for many. You know, serving was the whole reason for Jesus' ministry while he was here on earth, wasn't it? And I believe each one of us as Christians, as we strive to be like Christ, as we strive to be little Christ, it needs to be the mission that we have as well. But my point is, my service needs to start with a love for God. The next observation I made, I need to have a love for the saints in order to be addicted to the service of the saints. Once again, very basic, but foundational. You know, my love for God will result in a love for people, and especially the saints of God, won't it? And I'd ask the question here this morning, do I consider the brothers and sisters, the people that I go to church with right here, do I consider them the saints of God? You know, Paul here, in referring to the people at the Corinthian church, referred to them as the saints of God. And I just had to think, you know, earlier in this letter, Paul had to set them straight on some things. You know, there were some problems in this church. Chapter 1 talks about divisions and contentions that were there. And later on, he addressed the immorality that was there. And it seemed like there maybe was some there that challenged his apostleship. And in all that, he still addressed them as saints. And I think this could be a challenge for us today, you know, in relating to our fellow brothers and sisters, that we view them as the saints of God. You know, it doesn't take long when you work with someone, you sit on the same bench, and you get to know them pretty good, and you know their faults and you know their shortcomings pretty quickly, don't you? Can we still consider those people, brothers and sisters, we still consider them saints of God? No, we don't overlook sin this morning, but we are called to be forbearing and forgiving, aren't we? Do I bear in mind that my love for my brother is a reflection of how my love is for God? You know, we have verses like 1 John 4:20 and 21. If a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? And this commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God love his brother also. So I'd repeat this morning, in order to be addicted to the ministry of the saints, we need a love for the saints. The next point. In order for me to be addicted to the ministry of the saints, I need to know the saints. Once again, very basic. And I would ask, do I know the people that you and I go to church with? Do I go to church with someone that, yeah, we sit on the same bench sometimes on Sunday morning, and we meet after church maybe and say a few words, say hello, but I don't really know him that well. And he goes home and I go home, and we really hardly know each other. Christian friends, I think we need to do better than that. We need to know the saints. How will I minister to someone if I hardly know them, much less know if they're in need of my support? I believe this ministry to the saints requires getting acquainted, learning to know one another. It requires hospitality on my part. Romans 12:13 says, distributing to the necessity of saints, given to hospitality. And 1 Timothy 3 uses the same phrase, given to hospitality. Am I known to be a person that is given to hospitality? Am I known to be a hospitable person? Have that person over for lunch that you feel you don't know that well. Visit their home. Find out what they like to talk about. Show an interest in their life. Get acquainted. Another point I would have in this ministry of service to others, you know, it's a ministry that any Christian can addict themselves to. It's not just a work that's for Brother Stan and Brother Jeff here. You know, I don't know that we have any reference that would point to Stephanus being ordained man. He might have been. I don't know that we know for sure. But my point is that every Christian has a part to fill, whether church leader or not. And a verse in relation to that I found in 1 Timothy 5, verse 10, it says, is Paul here speaking of qualities that should be seen in widows? He says this, well reported of for good works, if she have brought up children, if she have washed the saints' feet, if she have relieved the afflicted, if she have diligently followed every good work. Everyone has a part in God's service, I believe. And Jesus says also in Matthew 10, verse 42, and whosoever shall give to drink unto one of these little ones a cup of cold water only in the name of a disciple, verily I say unto you, he shall in no wise lose his reward. And I see here just a simple act of kindness that anyone can do. And I believe this morning that God doesn't view Christian service as we oftentimes tend to view it. You know, we tend to be on the lookout for something big and important, don't we? Something that will be noticed. What did Jesus say? He said, whosoever will be great among you shall be your servant. And so I believe that many times my opportunities for Christian service really don't look all that great. And probably you've heard the saying, opportunity is often missed by people because it is dressed in overalls and looks like work. And I think there's a lot of truth to that. What all was included in the ministry that Stephanus' household was doing, I'm not sure. Paul doesn't directly say. But one thing I see here is that Stephanus went with these other two Christian friends, I believe that it gives that in verse 17, to visit Paul. And what the reasons for their trip were, I'm not totally sure. Maybe they were going to see their friend Paul. Maybe they were bringing a report of how the church was doing at Corinth. I'm not sure. But at any rate, they were a real encouragement to Paul. He says in verse 18, they have refreshed my spirit. And so I was challenged by that. You know, maybe my opportunity is simply just going to visit someone. Maybe just being there, giving them a listening ear, and chatting with them is what will be refreshing to their life. So use the opportunities you have. Maybe you're a young person sitting here this morning and you're just living at home with your parents and you're thinking, what can I possibly do in God's service, in service for God? I believe this morning that God is looking for you to be faithful right where you're at, right in those little things, those supposedly little things. Help your parents and your siblings where you can, and maybe it's just as simple as giving someone a drink of cold water. Just remember, he that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much. Use the abilities God has given you. Not everyone has the same calling in Christian service. 1 Corinthians 12 tells us that God has given different gifts to different members of the body of Christ. And my area of service may be different than yours. And yours may be different from the brother sitting next to you. God doesn't require talents of us that we don't have. Talents that he hasn't given to us. But he does expect us to use what we do have. Expects us to use what he has given to us. Finally, at the end of the day, at the end of life, I believe we will be judged according to our service to others and to our brethren. And we find that in Matthew 25. And I'd like to turn there, read a few verses there. Matthew 25, verses 31 to 46. I'd like to read. Matthew 25, verse 31. Familiar verses, I believe, to us, but we will read them. When the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory, and before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was an hungered, and ye gave me meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me in. Naked, and ye clothed me. I was sick, and ye visited me. I was in prison, and ye came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee an hungered, and fed thee, or thirsty, and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger and took thee in, or naked and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick or in prison and came unto thee? And the king shall answer and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, ye have done it unto me. Then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was an hungered, and ye gave me no meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me not in. Naked, and ye clothed me not. Sick and in prison, and ye visited me not. Then shall they also answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee a hungered, or a thirst, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not minister unto thee? Then shall he answer them, saying, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye did it not to one of the least of these, ye did it not to me. And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal. Very sobering account here, isn't it? Jesus says, inasmuch as ye have or have not done it, unto one of the least of these, my brethren, ye have or have not done it unto me. It's very clear from here that we will be judged by how we relate to the opportunities that came our way. In closing this morning, could this phrase be said of you or I? That you or I have been dedicated, have been addicted to the ministry of my fellow saints. And I would just challenge us this morning and myself, you know, what are my priorities? Am I addicted to the ministry of the saints? If I'm not, what am I addicted to? Is it something else? Am I concerned, am I dedicated to serving and providing for this old self? Giving me the priority. And I would challenge us this morning to take to heart this example that we have here of the house of Stephanus and be more dedicated, more inspired to the service of God and to the service of the saints. May God bless the word. Let's kneel for prayer.